on.
Okay, I'd like to call the Jerusalem Township Board of Trustees meeting to order. Date is April 22nd, 2025 at 7 p.m. I'd like to request a moment of silence followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call. Dave Bench.
Present.
Alex Litton.
Present.
Bo Millick.
Present.
Okay. All right, now I'm looking for a motion to approve the meeting minutes from April 8th.
I so move.
I'll second. Roll call. Dave Bench.
Yes.
Alex Litton.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Okay. What do we got next here? All right, fiscal officer's report. Joel is not with us this evening, but he left me plenty of notes. All right, let's see here. Deposits since last meeting totaling $1,301.84. Payments to approve. Warrant number 23618 through 23660, totaling $30,056.57. Fund status, checking $942,908.55. Star Ohio Fund, $684,191.72. Let's see here, the 2023 through 2024 audit continues. Documents are being picked up this week. Those two-year fiscal documents will not be available to review because they are being used for the audit. The only thing important he has to mention here is about receipt of that second resolution for the fall general election fire levy. That's really all he's got. So I guess looking for a motion to approve the fiscal officer's report.
I can move to accept the fiscal officer's report as read.
Thanks, second it.
Okay, roll call. Dave Bench.
Yes.
Alex Litton.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. Pretty sure I put that on the agenda. Yep, fire levy second resolution. Yeah. Okay, zoning department. Rob is not here. He gave a report last meeting, so we don't have anything on that. Rec department. Did you guys get anything from Gary?
I did not.
No, I talked to him a little bit about the signs and stuff like that, but he's off this week, so he said he was going to get things done this week.
Gotcha. Okay. Fire department.
Good evening. We're up to 98 runs for the year, which is, you know, not par for us. The only thing I have for you is the yearly contract or services from Lexipol. It's over the 3,000. It's exactly 3,586.77. And remember that we will submit for the OTARMA, which will take $1,000 off of that. But you guys have to approve it or else Joel won't pay it.
All right. You just want to do that right now? Do that way? All right.
Yes,
I move to approve. I move to pay the Lexipol invoice. Total amount is $3,586.77.
I'll second. Roll call. Dave Bench?
Yes.
Alex Litton?
Yes.
Bo Miller?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, the other thing I had was I had provided you guys all a copy of the duty officer role responsibility. Didn't know if you guys still have read it or if you have any questions towards it. I'd like to implement moving forward with the day car soon. The pickup truck lights are completed on it. They're still fooling with a radio and a computer yet, but that doesn't stop the use of it. But again, I'm looking to do it as a trial basis. We'll see how it goes and see if it can improve our response time. That's the goal, is to improve that to our customers. And
I have not looked at that, but I will grab it and make sure I get it looked at.
Okay, thank you.
Right away.
Appreciate it.
I thought it looked all right.
It seems like the response time is pretty good because you see, they're coming from the west.
Right. So that's what I'm trying to improve is, say for instance, I'll use one of our paramedics, Chuck Flack. So Chuck signed out the car. He's got the vehicle. And now he will go directly to the scene. Now he will stage at a scene. Anyone that is going to use it would stage at a scene if a scene was believed to be a domestic or a altercation or something. They'll just stage in the area. But it's not just for the EMS improvement. It's also for the fire. The sooner we can get some eyes on the fire to give us the size up and evaluation and determine if there's any life safety hazards involved, that's all the more better. The person will initially do the size up, perform a 360 around the property, shut the propane tank off, isolate the electric if needed. Those are just some of the incidentals that can happen. But for us, getting the known information is what's really crucial to what we have. So I'll give you for instance, we had a fire recently on Allsdale at a resident's home, and I was able to utilize a friend of mine, and he was in the area, so he went and looked at it and was giving me the size up. I'm providing the size up back to dispatch and all responding units, so everyone's getting a view of what they're coming into. And it was also determined that there was no life safety in the house. Fine, we're just trying to protect property now. And it went extremely well, and we had a great knockdown on the house, and I believe the house will be rebuildable, but that's up to the insurance company's determination, not mine. But anyways, that's where we're going to see that kind of results. But I'll be tracking this. I'll be recording the positives and negatives. If there's a negative in it, I'm going to report back to you and provide that negative to you as well. That's the goal of this vehicle, is if we can get to our customers sooner, that's where we're going to be better off. Sometimes I don't have manpower here yet. I can't transport a patient unless we have two EMTs. So there must be two. So what could happen, I'll use that example back to Chuck. He's already gone down to Reno Beach. The scene is safe. He made entry, he made contact. I already know Chuck's going. I've just grabbed the medic unit and I've already gone. I don't wait for another person. But if we do need additional manpower, we'll get it. But it's all about our customers. We're the ones going to be putting the levy on for this year. I just want to make sure our customers know exactly what we're doing, and we're looking to make an improvement. That's what this is. This is no different than what Allen Township has. They have a staffed crew, a medic and an EMT, but they have a medic unit. But then if they don't have to tie that unit up, then they bring in another medic unit, and then that one will do the transport. Unless it's severe, then the paramedic's going to accompany the patient.
Curious, Tony, when they take the truck out, then they're going to have all their gear with them. So,
yes.
So they can go in and...
Yep. Yep.
Are you allowing them to go in by themselves?
No, they can make, they can, no, they can't put themselves in harm's way because they don't have any protective equipment. Yeah. I mean, they'll have their PPE, they'll have their firefighting gear, and they'll have a water extinguisher and a dry chemical extinguisher. So like if it was a vehicle fire, you know, they can make an attempt on that. I'm not worried about that. But they're not going in on fresh air at all. You know,
that's what he's worried about.
The equipment will be on the truck, but they can't go in there by themselves with fresh air by themselves. We can't do that. It has to be two in, two out, generally for that protection.
Yeah, that's
good question, though.
That hadn't been brought up, so it is. No.
Yeah, no, I welcome the questions, please. And at any time you guys come up with something, if it just pops in, you know, text me or give me a message and we'll answer it.
I was hoping, we're hoping you weren't coming.
I believe.
It's going pretty quick. Other than that, trustees, that's all I have.
I think I'm good. Bo, you got anything? Dave?
No. Yes, you have a question?
Thanks. I got to circle back real quick. Jim, I forgot to check and see if you had anything you wanted to mention in terms of the zoning department.
Not really, other than the regular zoning meeting next month. I do want to mention the meeting isn't coming over.
Over live stream?
Live stream.
Should be. It shows it's streaming right now, and we have 3 viewers.
Yeah.
Let me check with someone else, and I'll have them take a peek at it and see if they can see the live stream.
Still waiting.
Still waiting?
Yeah.
I sent a message to a couple of people. I'll have them check to see if they can see it fine on our end. Because on this end, I can, everything looks fine.
It's there.
Bo, can you check it when you have a second from your end?
Yeah, I can see us.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Okay, I guess moving forward. Maintenance department.
We've started mowing all of our grounds that we have for the rec and the township cemetery. We're actually on our second round of mowing all them and starting to weed at the cemetery. Didn't realize how big it was until after we'd already mowed it. So that'll be done tomorrow. Then we've already made a trip out getting started on the roads. Had a couple the newer county roads that I wanted to get everything pushed back to the fields. So like Vila Road was one. We still got to take care of some of the telephone companies' work that they were notified of like 3 years ago and still haven't picked the wire up, the poles, anything. So might, matter of fact, just pick all that stuff up, take the dump truck and put it in their lot down on North Curtis Road. Be a good place for it, it's theirs. But just mowing right now, all the service is done. Hopefully done with any kind of salt at all, other than we've placed an order for the salt with the county. That was for 200 ton. And the price, we obviously don't know when you go into the state bid. We're assuming, or we're hoping, somewhere between $43 to maybe $50 a ton, and that would be delivered here. Sold some cemetery lots.
I'm signed here.
And we've leveled up some headstones in the cemetery. We still got a bunch more to level up yet. But the taller ones that were in danger of a tablet or something tipping off, pretty much got all of them straightened out, and the rest of the stuff is a little bit lower and easier to do. So, well, we do have a funeral Thursday. There'll be a full burial on Thursday. Then we have two cremations coming up from people that passed away quite a while ago. They just bought a grave to put them in, so. And one of them was our fireman. It was for Billy Miller and his wife. So they're finally going to intern the ashes for them. So, and other than that,
I got one for you. Did you hear back from Burkhart yet on Rachel Road?
No.
Okay.
David's heard something from him because he's working on some other stuff too. But I didn't even check my email today. So
he's going to come and give the bids maybe Friday.
Okay.
And that way we can get that stuff put together. Because I had, like, Sachs Road, I had him look at that. And a couple other things, so.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Where did you sell the lots? A new one, or still selling the old?
I have somebody that's going to buy in the new.
In the new? The first one? Again.
The old is completely sold.
To let you in.
Completely sold.
I just checked it.
I don't know why mine.
Yeah, so there's no graves to be had.
It just did the same thing
to
mine the first time I tried logging in. It just spit it back out. Didn't let me
in. Sounds good.
Give that a try. See if that works.
That's all we got.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. All right, on to old business. First item, community-wide garage sale. Oregon is doing theirs June 5th through June 8th. So unless there's any objections, I was just going to roll with that and advertise community-wide garage sale in the township. It's Thursday through Sunday. So we don't really do anything. We put it on the website, Facebook, sign. That's really about it. Sound good to you guys?
Sounds good.
Cool. Okay, number two, 911 meeting report.
April the 9th, I attended the meeting, and we looked over the budget, the financials. Everything looked really good. They actually had money left in all their budgets, so that was cool. And then we talked about the floor renovations. They're putting in new, I don't know why you call it, cubicles or something like that, and changing stuff around. And I guess the county's paying for most of it. And then we went over the annual report for 2024, and we approved the proportional shares, and our share is 0.3274 of that budget. And we discussed the appeals process and open discussion, and we adjourned. I think our next meeting is August.
Okay. Bo, do you have anything on
that?
Okay. All right. I guess that's that. Number three, road levy sign and flyer.
Here, Bo.
They won't let me in on that one.
Huh. That's weird.
Not weird.
We're doing the white one, and you flip it over, it was red. We tried that, but it didn't look as good. We didn't think.
Yeah.
That white comes, you wouldn't think so, but the white comes out better, doesn't it?
Yep.
We just made it simple. We're going to put them in the Metro then for this week and maybe the next week. It's $45 an acre, isn't it? Something like that.
I thought the white one looked better.
I did too. I like the white one. Pops better.
Yeah.
Look at that. Same thing on my end, too. I punched mine in. But then it let me in once.
Right. That's what looks like.
We'll figure it out later.
I'm going to call him tomorrow because it's not been letting me in.
Anybody wants to look at it.
And you and I are both the
admins. Well, no, because I'll be getting it in the Metro.
Yeah, in fact, I'd like to add Rob to it as well. So.
Is that just for roads and bridges?
Yeah, and I... when I talked...
Can you do it under Google? Or?
To Gary. Gary was going to put a flyer in, too.
They got their separate.
Yeah.
They just type.
You have a web browser.
Oh, this is on whatever the Microsoft browser is.
Oh, that's what I was using too.
Yeah. Okay. Next item, number four, Sachs Road Ditch.
Talked to Steve Burkhart, and I told him I had a lot of plastic left over from the greenhouse when we recover, so we were talking about putting that over there to seal them up, and we're hoping the bells aren't too bad. So we can just use some plastic and then rebury it and hope it lasts another 30 years. So that's what we're doing on Sex Road.
Okay. All right, Brown Road Ditch.
In front of the cemetery, we had Joe Kiss's uncle, Kevin?
Yeah.
He was complaining about, he has a sub pump comes out there, and the ditch, it's just a real small ditch. And I called the county up, and he didn't say I could clean it right away, but he was going to talk to the stormwater people. And well, he's kind of new, so we might get two dump truck loads out of it, but at least we'll get the water moving to the east. So that's what's happening there. I kind of wanted to, as long as Burkhart was here, we'd have Burkhart do it, and then. We'd pay him, and then the county would reimburse us like normal. That's it.
Okay. All right. Fire levy second resolution. So Joel heard back from John Burrell and has a copy of this prepared. I think you guys have copies.
Yep.
Okay.
What's the resolution number?
Let's see. Resolution number... 04-22-2025-00. Okay, so let me read this off. A resolution to place on the ballot the renewal of an existing tax in excess of the 10 mil limitation mills for providing and maintaining fire apparatus, mechanical resuscitators, underwater rescue and recovery equipment, or other fire equipment and appliances, buildings and sites, therefore, or sources of water supply and materials, therefore, for the establishment and the maintenance of lines of fire alarm communications, for the payment of firefighting companies or permanent, part-time, or volunteer firefighting, emergency medical service, administrative or communications personnel to operate the same, including the payment of any employer contributions required for such personnel under Section 145.48 or 742.34 of the revised code for the purchase of ambulance equipment, for the provisions of ambulance, paramedic, or other emergency medical services operated by a fire department or firefighting company, or for the payment of other related costs. The Jerusalem Township Board of Trustees met at 7 p.m. for a regular meeting on 4/22/2025 with the following members present: Alex Litton, Dave Bench, Bo Miller. It'd technically be me that moves to adopt this, right? So, Trustee Litton moved the adoption of the following resolution. Whereas the Jerusalem Township Board of Trustees has received the certification from the Lucas County Auditor pursuant to RC 5705.03, the amount of taxes which may be raised within the 10 mil limitation will be insufficient to provide an adequate amount for the necessary requirements of Jerusalem Township, Ohio. Therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Jerusalem Township, Lucas County, Ohio. Which sections do we read off here? We normally skip to the be it further resolved, right?
We probably should read
Usually you'll do where you read the top part here.
Yep, I got everything to.
So then you just, yeah. So.
Two's important, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Section two.
So I do section two, and then this last highlighted part here.
Sure. All right. Section two. The levy is at a rate of 6.5 mils for each $1 of taxable value, which amounts to $134 for each $100,000 of the county auditor's appraised value, for a five-year period of time, and is a renewal of an existing tax first voted on in 2019. Be it further resolved that the fiscal officer of Jerusalem Township is directed to immediately send a certified copy of this resolution to the Lucas County Board of Elections, along with the resolution of necessity and the certification from the Lucas County Auditor received pursuant to RC 5705.03, parentheses B, parentheses 2, on or before August 6, 2025 by 4 p.m. and notified said Board of Elections to cause notice of the election on the question of the levying said tax renewal to be given as required by law.
That's your motion?
Yep, looking for a second.
I can second that.
Okay, roll call. Alex Litton, yes. Dave Bench,
yes.
Bo Miller,
yes.
Okay. I need a copy of your guys' signatures. Joel. I guess I can't complain. That's a short one to read.
Yeah, that wasn't horrible.
Oh, yeah, this is on the back side of it.
Yeah.
I think you just left this for reference. Okay, make sure there's nothing else I need to cover in this. No, it's just all for reference. We're good. Okay, got that covered. All right, if there's no more old business, I guess I'll move on to new business. Number one, zoning inspector applications. To date, our application period has closed, and we've received one application, which I gave you guys a copy of. Just want to see how you, if you guys want to, how you guys want to move forward, if you want to move forward with the interviews, if you'd like to open it back up and list in some other areas. I guess you don't necessarily have to have an answer today if you haven't had a chance to look at the resume that was submitted.
I looked at it, you know, so before even, you know, so whatever. He looks like he could be well qualified, but
sure.
I mean, it wouldn't hurt to set up an interview,
yep.
In my opinion. I mean, it's not like we got people knocking down the doors.
No.
I really thought Sandy was going to apply for the job, but she didn't.
Okay.
But Denny was going to make her, once he retired, make her get a job and work.
Get her out of the house.
Right, but.
All right, so carry forward with an interview.
Yep.
All right, I'll reach out to him, see if we can get that figured out.
Yep.
Okay, number two, meeting postings on sign. This is an item I added. I was actually going to talk to Rob about that while I was, if Rob was here tonight, but I was going to see if Rob could take over posting meetings on the sign for anything zoning related, you know, zoning commission meetings, zoning public hearings, all that stuff. So I guess I'll just follow up with Rob unless you guys have any objection to that.
No.
Nope.
It'd be nice, and especially if we can get in the stupid thing.
Yeah. Jim, did you have something?
No.
Oh, okay. I just want to check.
Scratching the forehead there.
Oh, okay. Just want to make sure. Okay. Nothing else on the sign. Number three, wildlife state flapper.
I think I brought it up that at the Kuzna Road, that's not the name of the ditch, but it's easier for everybody to reference. When you dead end there at Kuzno Road, there's a structure there that we can shut off the water. Well, about halfway between there and the lake, they're going to put pumps to pump water into the marsh, and they're also putting a flapper there. And I left it in my desk. It's going to be at least as big as Kevin, the concrete structure that we shut down. Because I was worried they're going to put something small in, and it would restrict it. So it sounds like we're okay.
That's a big box culvert. I think that's like 5x5. So.
Yeah, and this one's supposed to be the same. So we should be okay.
Hey, if they shut that one, I'll have to mess with the one on Cedar Point Road then.
Yeah, see what happens. Because the pumps on Cedar Point and Decan are going to be back a ways too to pump into the marsh too. So
yeah.
Maybe we'll get lucky. Maybe we don't have to pump much water.
They were putting in that concrete crossover in the back where we turned to go back to our pumps today. And talking to the guy from Ducks Unlimited, it sounds pretty promising on being able to pull that pump out of there. And maybe once in a great while, I'll have to assist him with something. But
yeah. Did you have to pump much water today?
Yeah, we pumped and shut it down, and we'll go back in the morning and turn it on. Because it's accumulated this side quite a bit, because they took everything out of the other ditch, pumped it over, which didn't make a lot of sense, pumped it into the ditch we pumped instead of just pumping it across the road into that marsh that there was no problem putting that water into. But whatever. But yeah, we took it down about a foot today, so we pumped tomorrow. It should take it down quite a ways yet, and then they should be fine. I imagine they'd be backfilling that tomorrow, so.
Well, I was curious too, we're talking about pumps. How high is Wallace Road?
They had it pumped down pretty good when they pulled the pump. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna have to see. For anybody that doesn't know, Gravel's pump went down. Lost a bearing in it, and there's a drive shaft problem with it. So Mark said, depending on the availability of parts, he didn't know what the parts availability was for the bearing. It's just a cutlass bearing like would be on an inboard boat. But on how long before they got it down there, I contacted the county with the response that they were going to put me in contact with another guy because he was going to be out of the office the rest of the week. That was how much concern was showed towards that. And they give a 20-week date on the little pump to get it back in. And there were 6 to 8 weeks, and we're most probably 4 weeks into that. So I told him, other than it's township residents, this really isn't my job nor my worry on what happens with this water, because the county will be the one that will be fielding all the lawsuits over not pumping the water, and it's their station is now, that they should take a stronger action towards moving some kind of a pump or something out there to keep this maintained until at least the other pump can be put back in. Well, I don't think really cared for my attitude, and I really didn't care, but it's, you know what, we've been put off way too long by the big guy, and we're doing the work for him, which at first I didn't mind it, but you know what, they need to pick up the slack and do some of this, because this is getting ridiculous. A set of floats in the pump at Main Street Bono, so we never have to look at it again, with one flashing light that just tells me there's a problem with the pump, is all that's been needed there for like 2.5 years. Could we get a simple red flashing light that the residents used to call people when it was flashing, or a set of floats that would just kick the pumps on and off? It'd be amazing. It's just, it's ridiculous.
How much trouble is it going to be if we got to pull that pump from back in the marsh? I mean, if Growls don't have their pump up and running by the weekend,
we're
talking... I think
down there to see if, and I'm sure he left the hose and everything there. If he did, we'd most probably have an hour by the time we... Because we'd just drop our hose off, pull the pump and the tractor up out of there, and run it down there.
Because I know they're potentially talking another inch of rain this weekend. That's my only concern is if...
And with the subdivision pump down, we could handle an inch real easy in there. As long as we don't get one of these 2-3 inch things, Then it's going to become a real big problem.
Okay.
So, but yeah, that could be done. There's like, I don't know, I think there's 18 bolts around that flange, and that's all we got to remove.
How's our hose handling up down there?
That's the old one that I keep patching. I still haven't cut the new one yet, because running up them big rocks and stuff, it vibrates holes. So I just been patching it. There's like 3 patches on it right now.
Oh, you want me to get that belting then, don't you?
Yes, I do, before I put that new hose on that rough rock. But we got to reset all that anyhow. That pipe over time has shifted and vibrated back. So right now that pipe's moved back almost 5 feet from where we originally bent it.
Wow.
All that, if you don't strap that and bed it. So I got to put it back out, put a second stake in next to the flange and box it in, then just wrap it with a ratchet strap so it can't move anymore. So that's
it. Thank you.
Okay. Number 4, berm for Cedar Point Road.
When I was talking to Jason, I told him, oh, must have been a week ago, remember, you guys, we were at the, when we talked to the engineer, you know, that day, and we mentioned that we need berming there, and when I called him about 5 days ago, he says, I remember Dave, and so he's got us on the list, and I think maybe they got it out here,
They spot bermed on the south side of Cedar Point as of this afternoon when they left.
Oh, south side?
They didn't berm the whole road. They spot bermed as they went along. Really, I just started on the other side of the road because that's the side that's got all the big drop-offs on it.
Yeah, so, that side's bad. I better go look and see what they're doing then, huh?
Well, if I can catch up with them tomorrow. That was a whole new crew out here.
Oh, you don't even know them?
Nope, didn't know any of the guys. It's the new guys. I've seen them before, but as far as knowing them by name, no.
Did you see where they fixed that over on Brown, where that bank caved in?
That guardrail? Yeah. No.
Did you mention Decanton Seaman? You mentioned that to him too?
Oh, where the accident took place? They won't do anything with that until they make contact with the insurance and they got paperwork. They shuffle back and forth. Once it's approved by the insurance, then they'll put it out. And they most probably already ordered the parts, because one of the radius that was there, they didn't have one. I told them, it's new construction, make the radius anything you want at that point.
Yeah.
But, you know, and since they've been out here doing guardrail, I can't imagine they're going to shy away from it, but they'll get it.
Let's do it all.
Yep.
Okay.
So it is going to get burned. I just had a resident call me a couple days ago, too, and bounce me about it, too, so that's...
Okay, anything else on that?
Nope, we got her.
All right, number five, respond to Tim Bell, Stevens Disposal.
So I emailed the guy and told him that, hey, we have a kind of, we have a, like a 1 or 2 year extension with Republic right now, but the, all you gotta do is call Julie Riley at Lucas County.
Yeah, it's all public record.
She knows all of them guys, so... I told him just to contact Julie. So I don't know if, did he send it over again?
I talked to him.
Did you?
And I told him it's up in 27 November, and he's all worried. I guess, you know, they acquired the Genoa, Woodville, all of them places down there. They bought out, I can't think of his name now, Tom. Can't think of his name now, but they bought him out. And I guess
was it Rumpke real, there?
What?
Rumpke? Was that
no.
No.
Buckeye. It's Buckeye. Yeah. And I guess now they're in Clyde and Bellevue, they're that far already. And he says, I was driving through the township. I goes, oh, we ought to have you.
Yeah.
And I says, well, maybe you can in 27.
Yeah.
And I just told him, just like you said, just talk to Julie.
Yeah.
So, because I got something on email too or something again.
Yeah, cause I just said it. She's got the contract right there. Yeah. And she can give it, shoot it right over. Really, she don't handled to it. Us. Yeah. And I told him, I said, I think we had a couple of years left on it with an extension. And
yeah.
But we'd love to have, because I'd love to have them.
Yeah.
Somebody else bid on it.
So. Yeah. Back when, though, they didn't, until they bought these guys out, Buckeye, they didn't really pick up anything. Mm-hmm. You know, it was always containers. They didn't want to be in, you know. No. So it's kind of funny, whatever. And they're growing. So, you know, if you go up into Michigan a ways, they're up, they're really big.
Yeah.
You can't realize how big they are.
Yep.
So that's taken care of.
All right. Number six, tile on Yandota.
There's some tile up there. The same problem we got. The bells must be bad. It's where my boy farms there, on left hand side. But if you're heading north, and so I haven't called him yet. I'll call him tomorrow about that. I think I called a little after 8 and he answered. Jason.
Okay. Anything else on that?
Nope.
All right. Last item. So, shipping containers trustee hearing. So, we were at the public hearing last night with the zoning commission. And correct me if I'm wrong, the next step in the process is that you guys vote on it at your next meeting, right?
Yes, Rob has that date, so everything set on the timetable, 20 days.
May something, I think.
Yeah, I think May 7th.
So we will have 7th. It to you, and then another timetable starts by when you have to have your hearing.
Yeah,
and
I talked.
Rob will have them numbers.
And you guys are hopefully going to vote on it May 7th at your next meeting?
No, we got to pass something on to you because you're all under the timetable.
Okay, as long as it's at the next May 7th meeting, then Rob gave me kind of a... like a window. It can be anywhere from May 8th through June 7th, preferably, you know, closer to the end of May towards June. That way we have enough ample time to advertise. Rob gave me some tentative dates of his availability. We don't necessarily have to stick to that, but it'd be good to have him there. And it's also going to rely on revolve around Stopar's availability too. So let me give you a couple dates here. May 21st or 22nd. And then the other options he gave me were June 4th or June 7th. It must have meant June 4th or June 6th, because we wouldn't have it on a Saturday.
No. So, Jim, or actually, you know, so the next step is you guys have your hearing, or you guys vote on it.
The hearing's over.
The hearing's over. So you guys make a vote at the May 7th to bring something to us. Then we're just then the trustees are having a hearing.
Correct.
We don't vote on it that night.
We can, but we don't have to, and I'm going to assume that we're not going to want to vote on it at that night. So we have a time to review all the information that comes to us that night, because it's kind of difficult to make a decision
There's no timetable on the trustees voting on it. The only timetable is on having
the hearing.
Your hearing.
No, I thought there was a timetable on the final vote.
Is there for the trustees? I know there's a timetable for your hearing.
I could take a look. Let me look here, see if I have a copy of that.
Well, I mean, let's see. If they did it in May. I mean, either one of them days. Let's see, here we got a trustee meeting the 13th and the 27th. We could do it on the either one of them days. I think it works.
Which day?
As far as I can look out in May, but
22nd or, you know, or 21st or 22nd.
Yeah, I'm like Dave. I gotta check with the boss.
Yep.
Well, plus
to see what I'm doing, but either way,
we have to check with Stopar too. Make sure he's available. So it's gonna be.
He'll probably be the one we're gonna have to worry about.
Yeah. Yeah. Work around.
So, I can reach out to Jeff.
Sure.
And I can give him some dates. See what he's available.
Yeah, we better start doing that. Yeah.
And then
I
can just get back with you guys, and then you can just set the schedule. You can just set it. We can just set it. We don't have to make a formal.
Yeah.
Because we're gonna put notices out. And
yeah,
we'll know.
You know, it's got to be published so many days in advance.
So you had May 21st, 22nd, and then June what?
June 4th, or I think June 6th. Okay. What Rob gave me.
All right, I'm just gonna put it on my calendar to call him tomorrow.
Yeah.
On top of the other 25 things to do tomorrow.
I'll double check. I'm almost positive there is a couple weeks.
On your vote, I don't know.
The couple week deadline on our vote.
Rob has all that.
Yeah, he's got it done.
Do you happen to remember the initiation date? I'll touch base with Rob about it. We'll figure it out. Yeah. Okay. I guess we don't have anything else on that.
Yeah, I don't. I got a couple other things. Some things that popped in my head to
add
on there. If you guys don't have anything else right this minute.
Nope. I don't have any more new business. You?
Nope. Did you guys? I know we saw this one last year, and I don't know what can be done. And Dave, you're going to be the go-to guy on this. You saw the email on the foxtails?
Ah, yes.
The lady complained about the foxtails over on Cedar Point Road.
Oh, yeah, she does it every year.
And I mean, it's probably in the marsh, too, isn't it?
No, it's the one field. It comes up right in the corner there before you get into the park. It's just covered with it, yeah.
Whose farm is it, you know?
I don't really know.
I mean, there's not much you can do about it, is
no,
there? I mean,
no.
Okay, yeah. I saw the email, and I'm like...
I haven't seen it yet.
It's in there. The email's in there.
Must just haven't been able to.
Here, no. Look at it. It was yesterday at 3:30.
Oh.
Pretty much exactly what he said.
Yeah. Then the other thing I got is, and I want you guys to take some thought on this. So, I talked to Mike Panuski the other day.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the conversations with the Connex boxes and stuff. But, you know, they gave us these roads.
Yep.
Okay, the roads that they gave us. So these are technically our roads. Okay? And we can do what we want with these roads.
Uh-oh.
So the question was asked to Mike was, okay, and we're going to use an example of Lion Road. I said, could we turn Lion Road into a dead-end road? And he said, absolutely, you could turn it into a dead-end road. He goes, and then you would shove all the traffic that comes up Nissen and down Yondota and down Elliston, which are still county roads. It would also save, I don't know how many feet of guardrail on each side. It would save the them with bridge in the future, because they're still in charge of all the bridges. Just using an example, but there are roads that we could theoretically dead end to keep the traffic off them and shove them down the county roads that they are still maintaining, and them are their roads. And I do know there's a couple down in Reno that are Howard Farms that I think, like, kind of on the backside there, that maybe there ain't even houses on them anymore. Would it be the behind, like, Billy Fisher there? Isn't there a section there where there's not even a house there?
Yeah, going
stone back. Portion?
No, there's a it's a paved portion, isn't it?
I think there's
a little bit of it is paved, then you start getting houses going to the east.
Okay. So what I'm saying is we should look at this as an option. He said he did not have an option. He goes, the county, what we have to do is we have to petition them to vacate a section of road. He said the commissioners will, I don't see why they wouldn't vacate some of these roads for you. So there's options that we could look at if there's a if it makes sense in a in an area.
We can look at it.
To keep one, you're keeping the traffic off it. So the wear and tear on the roads are the big things. Now I don't know, like, you know, I started kind of in my head looking around like some of the roads that they gave us. There's not a lot we could do, but you could dead end some roads, and you take the traffic off it. You know, we take guardrail out of it that we don't have to do.
Well, there's the ones that they just give us, I just give them two of the roads to fix the guardrail because they had not run any of it up. One of them is your road, and there was discussion on even removing sections of it because unless they can give me a rhyme or reason why it's even there, it's like a 80-foot piece in the middle of the road. The ditch doesn't change, the road doesn't change.
Is that the one at the end of Wheeler there?
No. That was a car trap, is what that was, because fire departments had multiple cars that went off the end of there years ago. But, like, the one halfway down the block, there's no real reason to even have that piece of it. So, I know originally the talk was from their inspector, he was going to take it back originally and talk to Panuski about putting guardrail the full length down through there. I told him I'd prefer we don't unless there's a safety reason that it has to be in there, because now it makes it harder to mow, and now you got to spray it or weed eat all that all the way down through there. And there's not a history of a lot of cars ever running. In a snowstorm, somebody's run off the edge.
Yeah.
But
no. So it's an idea. I mean, it's just something to look at and see if there's a makes a logical sense that some of these roads we could.
We look at them and do it.
Yeah.
Or you can, he said the other thing is too, he goes, the other thing that you could do is if you could get 12 people on that road to, kind of like a ditch petition, but if you need 12 people, if you can get 12 people, he goes, that's all I mean, all you need, 12 people, they take it to the trustees, and the trustees then petition to the county. He goes, otherwise you're acting as the spokesman for the people on the road.
Interesting.
I bet you Sandy could get 12 people on Wheeler Road to shut Wheeler right down.
How would that affect the emergency services?
Well, you're still looking.
If you dead end it, how's it going to affect them guys to?
Well, they can still get to it. You know, it might be a little delay, but you can still get to wherever you're going. You can come up Elliston, or you could come up Yondota. You could come up. I'm just saying, I was just using that one for an example. That would be something we would take into consideration also with what the fire department's thoughts are on it, on being able to access certain areas, you know.
Well, the last thing you want to do is delay them guys.
Yeah. So. Yeah. But it was a thought. I'm like, hey, there are roads you're forcing on us. We should be, you know, and he's like, you're right.
Yeah, worth
you guys can do what you want with them. So, you know, if there's something we think we can, that makes sense, I think we should look at it.
If we can do what we want, but then let's give them back.
Well, I think everything but that.
Fair, it's solved.
Be nice if we could slip it in. Like, we're just going to vacate all of them.
Give it back to the state?
That's right.
One big circle?
So, that's all I had.
Okay. Alrighty. So, public participation.
I had a question for you guys.
Sure. State your name for the record.
Phil, I'm up on Dyke Road, Phil Jacobowski.
Yeah.
I was concerned about the Lucas County Building Regulations, Part 9, Flood Damage Prevention Regulation by Lucas County that Bo read at the meeting last week for the zoning. And my first question is, I'm kind of curious how this was missed for 15 months to be put or be recognized by Jerusalem Township as a whole as regulations that evidently are coming down to Jerusalem and it's going to have to be put in the zoning laws. It's going to have to be, talked about with the trustees to make sure that all of this stuff is basically implemented. So that was my first question, and I don't know that I'm looking to point fingers or anything like that. I just think maybe from a Jerusalem standpoint, we should probably be more up on this kind of stuff and maybe asking Lucas County, hey, when you have this kind of stuff, especially because Jerusalem Township is in an AE floodplain, this is huge.
Yeah,
I agree 100% with you, and I was totally shocked when I saw it too, when Mike actually sent that document to us, and I was starstruck just like everybody else was when we first saw it. So
I just checked my email, nobody sent me anything on it.
Yeah, we've never been notified by Lucas County about that flood prevention document that they, like you said, was it 15 months ago they implemented January of 24.
And I think if you look at it, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure it said when their public hearings were, like it had the dates outlined.
I don't remember if it did.
With most things like this, there's a minimum public hearing requirement set by the state, and I'm sure they met that by putting it on their website or placing it in the newspaper somewhere. So
we didn't see it in our local paper.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, it wasn't out here for anybody in this township to observe.
Yeah.
So, great segue into my next question, and that is, because this is something that truly affects every single resident in Jerusalem Township that is in the floodplain, which is, 80 to 90% of the people, when are you guys going to have a public meeting to discuss this and possibly bring in someone from Lucas County to answer questions by the residents as to how this impacts every single person? When it comes to health, safety, zoning, floodplain, and the biggest one of all, FEMA, because now we fall under FEMA, and FEMA's now going to say, you guys don't comply, you don't get any insurance, or your insurance is reduced, or you pay this much more money per resident. So this is huge, a huge impact on every single person. And my last thing I'll say is just, from the meeting last week, sections 1.1 and 4.4 talk directly, this thing talks directly to containers and storage and building and you name it, it's all in here. And I mean, as far as the zoning resolution from last week, it's out the door. There's nothing, I shouldn't say that, let me rephrase that. It's going to be a big, huge problem for every single person that wants a storage container and or a shed. I'll go both ways because sheds are already in there. Mm-hmm. Or building a building or putting in a foundation. I mean, there is so much in here. I read this thing and it. And when you look at this and then you look at the Ohio and Lucas County rules for building, the people who want these containers or sheds, don't care which one you want, there's so much that they're going to have to do that it'll be impossible. Nah, I shouldn't say that. It will be so expensive for a resident to put anything in, including a house, because it almost restricts what you can do in a house because of all of the regulations you have to go through.
Yeah, and that's what I said too. When I read that document on what they're, I mean, this, it blew everything out of the water. I mean, it was anything you want to do down there, but I do know, to go back to one question, Phil, I do believe Lucas County, Jim, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Lucas County now wants every permit that we fill out to go to them, correct?
That's what you had said after talking to Panuski last Friday.
Yeah, they, okay, so.
Last, whenever you talked.
Yeah, yes. So every permit that Jerusalem Township writes, whether it's in the floodplain or not, they want even if it's something that they didn't even, it didn't even really fall under their jurisdiction, they want a copy of the permit that's going in.
And that's because of what's in the floodplain regulations? That's listed in there?
I think that they wanted, I think that was their start to this, because Mike said, we are gonna be watching this and we are gonna be patrolling this. Now, I will tell you who I think did have that, Phil, is I think that the Reno Beach Harbor Farms Conservancy knew about that document.
They didn't. I asked that exact question and they said they knew it. I think it was the day you found out. They found it out in the morning and you had it in the afternoon or
okay,
something.
Okay, so then they got it the same time we did.
Yes,
okay.
Because they were flabbergasted as well about what's in here. I mean, it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anybody that reads this and knows anything about regulations, building, and all that kind of stuff, this will put a kibosh on a lot of things and it will cost a lot of people a lot of money.
Thankfully, you got your house built when you did.
Yeah.
Hold on, Jim. I want to make one comment on that.
Sure.
So, to go back to the beginning of your question about how we're going to approach this, I guess with the residents, it's frustrating, but I don't necessarily feel the need to approach this with the residents because this is Lucas County's jurisdiction and it's up to them, whatever they want to do with it. We don't like when they step on our toes. I don't want to step on their toes. That's my own personal opinion on that document.
I don't think to be stepping on toes for Lucas County because that's why this guy sits here and that's why there's a zoning board and that's why you guys have inspectors and that's why they write rules. And yes, of course, they have to do what Lucas County says when it comes to building, but there are certain things like sheds, which this falls under, if we're talking about Connex boxes still, that they have to now comply with, which means his regulations and hit what he writes and gives to you guys, it's completely different than what I think might be coming. I haven't talked to JB, so I don't know.
So if you read those floodplain regulations, it says that Lucas County is in charge of implementing and enforcing those regulations.
That's
so that's
correct.
Totally up to them. That's nothing. It applies to us, but it's not.
Be careful what you say, because when FEMA gets involved, now it's you guys. Big time. Because now you get taken out of FEMA and you are no longer in compliance, and now we, the public, pay for that.
So, in terms of FEMA compliance, the county handles compliance on our behalf and it's covered across the whole county. So,
that's
up to the county to deal with it since that's their jurisdiction.
It's us that pay for it, is what I'm trying to tell you. Because if we get out of FEMA compliance based on what Lucas County says, these guys don't enforce and you guys vote on, it comes back to us, and it's dollars. If we ever have a flood, and we're not in compliance, and I'm going to use sheds because containers are, you know, so controversial. If, and I'll use a container because they're so damn heavy and big. If they float away and they hit someone's house, and we're not in compliance, there's a good chance that house is not covered because we didn't comply.
Right.
So now, it turn into places that can block roads, block ambulance services, block surfaces in general, government, taxes. I mean, it's all spelled out in here. You can read it. I'm not making this stuff up. It's all in.
But it does say that's their jurisdiction and responsibility for administration and enforcement. So that's up to them what they want to do.
Remember, you are liable for us.
We could talk to, I wouldn't have a problem reaching out to Mike Panuski.
Yes.
And what I would do is I think the right venue for that would be through the Reno Beach Harbor Farms Conservancy to start, to give to get it out, get the information out. That's where I would start. I'll talk to Mike and see where he feels. But I think that would be the right venue to disseminate the information to people regarding that document you have in your hand. That'd be a good starting spot for them. And then again, like we said, you're exactly right. We have to follow that based off of what the zoning board is going to write. But ultimately, even if we were to give, for example, Phil, if we were to give a permit for a fence down there, which we give permits for fences all the time, we don't have to send that to the county.
Yeah.
But now, Rob is going to have to send that to the county if it's in that floodplain. And then Lucas County is going to decide whether or not that person can put that fence up. Not us. All we're saying is they came into us, they showed us their site plan where the fence was going to go, and we're saying, yeah, it's okay. But now you have to go to Lucas County to get that done. So, but yeah, I could call Mike Panuski and talk to him about getting that information out to the residents.
Yeah. So are we supposed, excuse me, are you guys supposed to have a public meeting about this prior? Because...
Prior that?
Prior to anything you guys do zoning-wise now, because of this document being out for the last 15 months.
No.
I mean...
No, that's not to say...
It's not like it's not law.
Right, right. So I don't have Rob here to answer, kind of answer my question, but my interpretation is if you get a zoning permit for a shed or something like that, and if you get a zoning permit, you have to comply with our zoning regulations, and then you go to the county to comply with their regulations. So there's...
If you're in the floodplain.
Right, yeah, mm-hmm. If you're at the floodplain, so there's a two-step process there. So there may be things in our zoning regulations that say, yes, you can do it, and then you get to the county and you say, no, you can't. And that's up to the county. That's not up to us. That would be very difficult to rewrite our entire zoning resolution to comply with that. And our zoning resolution covers areas not in the floodplain, so that's why it goes back to Lucas County.
And that's what Mike stressed very strongly the other day, was it's only in the floodplain, which, again, 2/3 of our township's in the floodplain.
Yeah. I was going to say, if you've seen the floodplain map,
yeah,
70, it's basically Jerusalem.
70% of
right.
the township is in the floodplain.
So I'll reach out to Mike and just see what his thoughts are on that, how he would approach that, what the right venue would be for that, for the public to listen, to for them to explain that a little bit more. But again, that day, what was it, last Wednesday, I think Tuesday afternoon is when I got that document. So I never knew anything about it prior to that, and neither did anybody else.
Right.
No. I mean, even the Conservancy, the way it sounds, is like they had it a couple hours before me is all. So, now,
did they implement this due to FEMA regulations?
Yes.
I'm going to assume so.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. The dike, the Conservancy has to work with FEMA as well to make sure that their dike protects everybody in Lucas County. That's
FEMA
the floodplain
determines what's floodplain and what's not. FEMA determines whether you have to have flood insurance or not.
It's both. They determine where the floodplain is.
A while back, people that weren't in the floodplain, it never flooded. FEMA expanded that area because of all the storms and stuff down south, so they could make people pay for flood insurance and recover some of their funds.
And some of them come out of the floodplain, I think, too.
Yeah,
they,
that's correct.
Some of them came out of it.
Yeah.
Yes. And the nice part is because FEMA did that, they also gave you they put money into the flood insurance so that people don't have to pay as much, because if we don't comply through Lucas County, they take that away, and all the flood insurance now for every house goes up.
Yeah. And it's kind of ironic when you read that about sheds, storage containers and stuff, about being pulled down. And I sit here and I think to myself, in common sense, if a shed or a Connex box is floating down the road, we got bigger problems than that hitting.
Yeah, you've got houses.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's too. Common sense tells me we got bigger problems than that, you know.
It's interesting you should say that, because I did the calculations for a 20-foot box, and it's the amount of buoyancy a 20-foot box has is 74,000 pounds.
Wow.
And that's equivalent to 17.5 square yards of concrete, which means that if you had to put it on something, literally to keep it down in an entire flood, which would take you up, let's say, to 8 foot, you'd have to have a piece of concrete that's 20 feet long, 10 feet wide, and 3.5 feet deep. Sure. And by the way, I'll even give you the 1,000 pounds worth of, I got a mower and the kids' bikes and stuff thrown in there, 1,000 pounds. It makes no difference. That's why a Connex box can float for weeks in the ocean.
Yeah.
Full, by the way.
Okay. It's the propane tanks, what's make me nervous.
Yeah.
And by the way, this also talks about propane tanks, and they have to be bolted down. That's 4.4. No, I think it's a different one. I'm sorry. I might have misspoke. It's another one. It says propane tanks in the entire district now must be contained, and so they don't float away.
There's
and
not a one bolted down.
There's not a
guarantee.
No guarantee. Nope.
Jim?
Now, just to go back to what you and I talked about last week, Bo, and I know this sounds ridiculous, and I'm asking you to verify this. Did they even say if you put a doghouse in your backyard, you build a doghouse, you have to...
No.
The fence. Now, you did mention that.
The fence. So
the
what
fence
he said.
And some of these things that they're encompassing.
And what he said on the fence was, if you're putting up a chain link fence, they're going to grant you the permit.
Correct.
He goes, where they run into the problem is, he goes, if you're putting up a vinyl
solid fence and you bury it a little bit in the ground and it impedes the water?
Yes.
They're not...
It's all about where the flood, where the waters go to recede, the way they leave and go to streams and rivers and finally back into the lake.
Yep.
If it impedes that, it's part of FEMA and Lucas County doing this whole thing.
And the second point I want to make, after reading this once, I'll have to read it 2 or 3 more times because there's so much to absorb, and it's all... And when you read these, then it refers to other litigations, like 104.4 of another law. So my intention was, Bo and I don't have a relationship with him, is to ask Panuski to come and give us a tutorial to the Zoning Commission. Or the public, you know, I mean, there's a lot in there.
A lot of information.
It's
going to
affect a lot of people. We knew nothing about it until a week ago.
Yep.
You know what all that's saying? They're going to cut out construction here. And as time goes on, the places dissipate. The wildlife wants all this area. They want the whole lakefront.
It won't dissipate it, but it's going to make it sure tough to build or do anything.
It'll make it harder to build.
Well, you won't be able to build.
No.
Yeah, you will. It's just, you just got to be a foot above floodplain, that's all. That's all we're trying to do. Kind of like the house on Lakeway there that is jacked up so high, or the barn that was put up like that.
Lakeway and Howard.
Yes.
Okay, any other public comment? Okay, I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
I can second that.
All right, roll call. Dave Bench.
Yes.
Alex Litton, yes. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Okay, time 8:06.